If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're listening to Jeremy Beck on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, and this is our number two, filling in for Mike Ryan on The Mike Ryan Show. Look at the news headlines. New video of Joe Biden inappropriately touching a girl. A new video of President Joe Biden touching a girl has surfaced. President Biden has made a habit throughout his political career of placing his hands on women. Biden previously promised that he would be more mindful about respecting personal space of others. But on Friday, President Biden made an appearance at Irvine Valley College in Irvine, California. He spoke to a small crowd about lowering the costs for American families with a focus on healthcare. Well, good luck with that. But at the gathering, a girl appeared to pose for a photo with the president. And I did watch it. It's going around social media and I had a watch. And she appeared directly behind, in front of the president. And Biden then slides his left hand on her shoulder and he leans in very close and gives her dating advice. And he said, "Now, a very important thing I told my daughter and granddaughters, no serious guys until you're 30. And it was really cringeworthy. And the girl, I mean, she's only a young teenager, may not even be 13. Anyway, she was relatively young and she looks back appearing very uncomfortable. And at that point, the president's Secret Service, they appeared to be preventing whoever videoed this shot from videoing any further. Quite an embarrassing thing for the president to have this go out public. But then again, why did he do this in the first place? Why does he have a habit of doing these inappropriate things? Really, surely we can have better leaders. The standard of leadership is dreadful right across the board and has in the United States for many presidents have been abysmal and he must be the worst they've had. And this particular incident has outraged, rightly so, many people. Quite a few people have tweeted responses. One of note, Rep. Thomas Massey, he said, "This is inappropriate behavior. It's not endearing or charming. It's creepy. The fact that it's been using this line for decades while touching girls doesn't make it okay." Yes, agree. Other news headlines. Russia responds to UN's official rape claims. Claims made by the UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence, Pramila Patten, go beyond the reach of reason, according to Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova, and that she said in a statement on Sunday. Earlier this week, Patten accused Russia of employing a deliberate rape strategy as part of its military campaign in Ukraine. "One cannot even comment on P. Patton's words in a serious way," Zakharova said, adding that the UN official conclusions were based on data that is difficult to verify, according to Patton herself. Now, these sorts of claims are typical of war propaganda to whip up people's emotions. That's what happens in war, that the first casualty of war is the truth. It sort of reminds me of other similar claims to try and demonize a country's leader. This time they're trying to demonize Putin and demonize Russia. In the past, remember when before the Iraq war and during that period of the propaganda that we endured, we heard all sorts of nasty stories about Saddam Hussein and his human shredding machines. Turned out that they weren't true at all. All the weapons of mass destruction weren't true. Or the Iraqi soldiers taking the babies out of the incubators. Of course, that wasn't true either. And these claims of Russia has a deliberate policy, a deliberate rape strategy in Ukraine, that just rings of war propaganda. I don't take that seriously at all. It's just trying to whip up people's emotions to be anti-Russia, typical of our Western media. It is dreadful, our media, absolutely disgusting. That's why we have TNT Radio, to give you the real truth of what's going on that the mainstream media will not tell you. Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We are on all the major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
The latest as it happens.
Every day, something new.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Is the airline travel going backwards? The airline industry. Is this yet another service that will be reserved for only the privileged? Is this part of a plan or an own goal of an industry led by globalists, hell-bent on vaccines, vaccine passports, and control of the masses? My next guest will probably have a strong view on this subject. Alan Dana started flying in the UK in 1988 and now has accumulated 23,000 flight hours, recently fired after 14 years at Jetstar, the low-cost airline owned by Qantas. The reason for termination? Serious misconduct for not complying with the company vaccine mandate. Prior to this, he was flying for British Airways, based in London Heathrow, operating to the Arctic Circle and Africa and the Middle East. Much of his training was completed outside of Chicago before working as an instructor and charter pilot in Palm Beach, Florida, before relocating and flying in the Caribbean. He holds the American FAA, British and Australian airline pilot licenses. Alan also holds an FAA Accident Prevention Counselor designation. Alan is part of the magnificent Qantas 24, although I believe that's probably the magnificent 50 or 60 by now. It's a group of airline staff who are standing up against the workplace, the mandates and all the rest, and for rights, workplace rights and freedom to choose. They recognised that the corporate mandates pushed at Qantas and Jetstar were a clear breach of their employment contracts. All have been given a termination decision and stood down without pay until their upcoming court action delivers a verdict. Welcome to TNT Radio again, Alan.
Jeremy, good to, thanks for having me back on.
So what is the Magnificent 24? What number are we up to now?
Well, we started off at 24 way back in sort of February time. Then we lost a few. We're down to 19. And then thanks to you guys at TNT Radio and the advertising and the message that we managed to get out through Hoodie and other sort of freedom-loving channels, we've managed to attract quite a few other staff that were terminated in the same fashion. And our group now is up over 53. So we've got a second action is being filed with the new joiners, and we're hoping to be able to join the two groups together to be able to take on Qantas head to head. So yes, it's getting quite interesting.
Very much so, and that's good to see that you have grown from the 24 to now 53 odd. Now there is an article in today's press that airline fares skyrocketing in Australia for several reasons. Fewer planes flying, staff shortages, more people getting back into the air travel after COVID, the cost of rising fuel, etc. Where do you see this heading?
Well, we're going to put some updates on our website at aussiefreedomflyers.com. We do have a page there that is for passengers, passenger news, basically, that, to give them an update of what the latest developments are, and that should be up later this evening. But to basically answer your question, I mean, I think you've got to look back at what's going on with the Australian dollar right now, because it all comes down to economics. And the inflation that we're suffering in comparison to the US dollar is going to be tremendous with the interest rate rises. So the Americans, as we well know, are pushing up their they're pushing up their interest rates, and that has a direct effect on what people can spend here in Australia, because our banks have to follow suit, and otherwise the currency weakens. Now, the fuel that we put in the aeroplanes has to be purchased on the futures market in US dollars. So it takes more Aussie dollars to buy the US dollars. And the airlines are financial organizations. They're just going to come on board and just push the prices up to the customer. So it's really important to understand that all of our problems that we're going to suffer in the supermarkets, at the petrol pump, and with airfares is all based on what the Americans do with their interest rates and the exchange rates between that and the US dollar.
Mm. It's really quite shocking to see the prices of an air ticket these days. I was seeing some figures in a news report that it had cost about $6,000 to fly to Europe or something like that, crazy prices. It's almost like you're flying business class or first class and you've still got an economy seat. And I understand the planes are jam-packed full anyway, but yeah, not as many planes are flying. So would it be the case that many planes are just sitting there doing nothing, just grounded?
You're exactly right. And this, again, this comes down to revenue management of the airlines and the economics of what's going on. There's a change in psychology of travel for the average punter. And we just don't know what people are going, their habits are now, because the habits have changed. A lot of people just won't go international, which is why many towns, you know, holiday destinations around Australia are seeing a bit of a resurgence, because a lot of those people just won't risk going abroad, because we've seen that the governments all over the place can bring in a mandate at the drop of a hat. And what's to say that they won't do that again? So that's changed their psychology as well. Then you've got to look at the business sector. I mean, most of the legacy carriers, Qantas and British Airways and the like, they make an enormous amount of money, or made an enormous amount of money, on their business travel. Now, you've got enormous amounts of empty space in commercial properties in the cities, because people have worked out how to use Zoom effectively and do online meetings. So those offices remaining empty and people using online meeting facilities has a direct correlation to the amount of businessmen that get to have a little trip somewhere and, you know, waste company money. So The businesses that of managers that are looking at the bottom line and saying, hang on a minute, this lockdown, these shutdowns has actually saved us a huge amount of cash. And they are not going to go back to sending their employees on lovely trips to Florence and to Vienna, you know, on the company ticket for 2 weeks just to do a business deal. They're only going to send them if it's absolutely necessary. So the airlines are suffering a loss in business traffic in the same way that commercial properties are suffering occupancies, empty offices. And how are you going to fill that space? How are you going to make those airplanes pay for themselves? Because they cost a lot of money. So what the airlines have done is they've parked some of their aircraft and ensured that any plane that goes in the air is completely full. Because when they're full, they make money. And the thing is, the full aeroplanes that are going today are also paying for the leases on the empty aircraft that are sitting on the ground. So it may appear in this quarter that Qantas, for example, have made a profit, but that's sitting on top of enormous losses over the last 2 years. So their net position is negative, big time. Now, the airplanes that we fly, the Airbus and the Boeings, they're foreign aircraft. If you want to purchase a part, a spare part, or a tire, you've got to pay US dollars. And again, it comes back down to the economics of the exchange rates. So the airlines have got a really tough revenue management plan to try and work out. They're dealing with a change in psychology of the passenger, a change in psychology of the business customer, the enormous changes in the exchange rate, which are negative for us being Australians, and their only fix is to oversell their aircraft. So what they'll do is, if they've got a 200-seat airplane, they will sell 220 seats. Now, if every one of those people that have bought a ticket on that flight show up, 20 people aren't going anywhere. So that's a tactic that they used years ago. And it's going to be very disappointing for those 20 people that have got a ticket that think they're going somewhere that are no longer going anywhere. So the advice from me would be, if you have bought your ticket, check in at the earliest opportunity. And that's the, for a domestic flight, that's usually 2 hours before the flight departs. And an international, that's 3 hours. So as soon as that check-in opens for that specific flight, even though you think you may have a seat assigned already, go onto the app and get yourself checked in. Because the first 200 people on that airplane, they're the ones that are going. And the last 20, if everybody shows up, are going to be staying.
That is an absolute disgrace. That seems to be a breach of fair trading practice. So I guess there's various different laws in different countries, but I wonder what laws they may be breaking in doing that. I'd like to take up that issue, but we do need to go to a break now and we'll talk about it later. This is TNT Radio.
You should hear what Jason Allborn is talking about.
The government has no place behind one's own front door. I'm not talking about deviant behaviour. I'm talking about sovereignty. But in this era of now, the world is changing. Your family has become the state. You actually have to fight now if you want to avoid that. COVID isolation rules were the first example since the starting pistol was sounded. The race is on and there's no going back. The trans agenda is a bridge way too far. It is far from innocent and force-feeds sexual development compulsorily against all accepted cultural mores apart from exception to the rule, and then attempts to ram these exceptions into the mainstream reality right down our throats, with no time for discussion, reflection, or debate. Intolerance is automatically cancelled in the mainstream. That's why those who were vaccine hesitant were discriminated against openly, despite all denials in society. Despite the promises of ScoMo, there are no mandates in this country. The opposite was true.
Jason Allborn and Jason Q. Citizen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The climate change lunatics in government and at the WEF will make meat, cheese, milk, and chocolate heavily taxed luxury items to save the planet. Just like private jets, the rich will indulge in whatever they want, while the poor are left with nothing. Remind me how the French Revolution ended again, when the poor had nothing? Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Jeremy Beck back again, and my guest, Alan Dana. And before the break, we were discussing how airline companies sell more tickets than there are seats. And if you're unlucky to be one of those last people to get on the plane, you may not get on the plane. Now, Alan, would this be a breach of fair trading in various countries?
Not at all. It's common practice because pre-COVID, at least 20% of the passengers didn't actually show up. So it was never really a problem. It was only a very, very rare occasions when the plane was, everybody showed up at the airport. And the flights where everybody usually showed up was a Friday afternoon, you know, people going away for the weekend and that sort of thing. So those flights predominantly were not oversold as bad. The midweek flights were usually oversold worse. And the flights that weren't very popular were the ones that were oversold. But as you see the economy getting a bit tighter, and money getting a bit tighter, people are going to be booking those 6 a.m. flights, the cheap ones, or the midnight flights, or the 2 o'clock in the morning flights, the really, really cheap flights. And what's going to happen is people are going to show up for them. Now, it's not illegal for them to do it. The airline's contract with you as a passenger, you can read in the small print, which is really, really boring, trust me, is basically just to get you from A to B. It has no, there's no contract to get you from A to B at a particular time. It's just that they will get you from A to B. So, for example, if you purchase a ticket from Cairns to Townsville, for example, just a short flight, and they don't have an airplane, they are quite within their rights to put you on a bus and take you overland to Townsville. You will get there, and that was their contract with you, from get you from A to B. Only becomes a problem if there's water in the way. So if you're at Airlie Beach, for example, and you've got to go over to Hamilton Island, they can send you on a boat. So it's just literally transport between these two points. However they can do it, they'll get you there. And if they really can't do it and they have to cancel because the airplane's broken or there's no other alternative, like the distance is too enormous, you know, Brizzy to Perth, for example, then they've got to find you an alternative flight. And what the airlines also do is if they've got two flights going to the same destination in a day, let's say an 8 o'clock Brizzy to Sydney, and there's 50 people on that one, and then the afternoon flight, there's 150, the chances are that they'll cancel the flight that's only got a few people on it and put everybody on the other flight so that they don't operate two airplanes at enormous cost and they can make more money. So that's just a cost-cutting exercise. And this is what happens with last-minute cancellations. If there is the possibility of another flight later on, then the chances are that flights could be amalgamated. And it's just the way it is. And in this current environment, my only advice really would be to travel with extra time available to you. You know, if you've got a meeting or you've got a family event to go to, go the day before. And when you're coming home, if you've got to be back at work, you know, you've got to have that buffer because of the chaos that's going on, because the sickness is still happening to the crews. I was speaking to a crew the other day, you know, funnily enough, the people that unfortunately are vaccinated, they're suffering more regular sickness than the people that are unvaccinated. And it's being ignored, and we know it's going on, and the airlines are still suffering. So this is why they're having staff shortages still. You would have thought that they cut back their flying operations, got airplanes parked, that would have solved the problem, but it hasn't. You've got engineers that are going off sick as well. So maintenance isn't getting done. So the airplane may not be able to be used. So they've got so many problems that they have induced artificially themselves. And the traveling public are the ones that are going to suffer. And it's a terrible situation. If you can avoid it, just avoid it. You know, you have to think twice about where you've got to go and why, and how much time you've got available to suffer the delays.
It's a shocking state of affairs, Alan. How long do you expect this to last, or is this the new normal?
I think it certainly is the new normal. Certainly, with this current, gaggle of management within the companies that seem to be hell bent on destroying their airlines from the inside out. They're not really making very, very good choices at all, and on their operation. The morale at the airlines is at rock bottom, and the staff are not working with the airline for the good of the business because they don't feel valued. They feel persecuted, harassed. The overtime that they're doing is just off the scale, and they're worn out. And it's a very, very toxic environment. And I'm getting these phone calls from people that are still there, and they're saying that's exactly what's going on. So another colleague of mine I spoke to about a week ago, he does the Japan route, and he says he's getting harassed to get the booster. Well, as far as most people are concerned, you know, the COVID thing's kind of over, and nobody's really talking about the boosters, but he's had his two shots, and he's getting harassed to get the booster. And we asked, well, why? Well, the airlines has to do a PCR test on him if they want to send him up to Japan, and it's got to be done 24 hours before the flight. And depending on what he's done the day before his trip, he can't actually get one and get the result back before his flight is scheduled. So the operations are hassling him to get the booster. And he was like, am I compliant with my two shots? They said, yes. He said, okay, I'm not getting the booster. And they said, well, we're having trouble rostering you on flights. And he goes, not my problem. So, yeah. So what's happened is that the rostering have put him on the trip. He said that he's not prepared to get the booster. He has to stay on this protocol of PCR testing. They can't get the PCR test back in time. So then at the last minute, they have to take him off the trip and find somebody else. So the Cairns to Tokyo and Osaka flights get cancelled quite regularly. So again, if you're one of those passengers, you're going to be suffering disruption at some point somewhere.
Oh, it's a wild state of affairs, Alan. And if I was the pilot, I'd be saying no as well. Once you know the number of people you see with the adverse effects, why would you risk that? It's not worth it for your job. I would prefer to lose my job than lose my health. But on that note, we have to go to the news headlines. This is TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Ukraine has been accused of using Western rockets to attack the Donetsk People's Republic, where a city administration building was shelled on Sunday. It's a case of deja vu in the UK, where British Prime Minister Liz Truss is facing calls from her party to resign just 6 weeks after being sworn into the top job. And violent unrest continues in Iran, where protests have spiralled into nationwide riots, calling for the downfall of the Islamic Republic's hardline government.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And Jeremy Beck back again, and my guest is Alan Dana. Now, Alan, the airline industry is great turmoil right now, and it's Australia, it's worldwide. Do you see the problems in Australia worse or much the same as the situation internationally with other airline companies?
I think it's basically the same as what's going on all over. We do have a problem here of not enough competition, which is going to keep the airline prices high. Now, if we just have a little delve into the organizational structure of the major airlines here, Jane Hardlecker, who's the CEO of Virgin, she was the CEO of Jetstar when I was there for a while. And Alan Joyce, the CEO of Qantas, was the CEO of Jetstar as well, back at the beginning from, I think, about 2004, I think, to about 2008 or 9. So these CEOs, they all know each other. They have phone calls. They do text messages. They know what's going on. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they've worked out a little plan to try and make the maximum amount of money that they can in a very tough trading environment, because it wouldn't take much to organize, and they're all dealing with the same problems. So it could be an implicit understanding, and the way that they would do that is that you would at Qantas or Virgin, Jetstar, they may put a price on a particular route at a particular time, and the other airlines will keep in a close eye on their competition's pricing. And they just adjust their prices accordingly. Now, if they if the competition airline keeps their price cheaper, you know that they might be able to make more money with less revenue. So they've got this dynamic pricing that changes the prices of the tickets at different times of the day and night and months and all that sort of stuff. So it's a very difficult thing to put your finger on, but they do obviously want to try and claw back a lot of the losses that they've suffered over the last couple of years. I've got a little bit of sympathy there. You know, this wasn't brought on by CEOs. This was brought on by government. But the CEOs have actually added to the misery of everybody by the way that they treated their staff. That's their problem. And now the economic situations, again, brought on by government, locking everybody down, giving free money for 2 years, is we're paying for that now in the inflation that we're feeling. And the airlines have to react to that. All the food on board, has to be purchased at higher prices. All the fuel used in the trucks and the vehicles to deliver it to the airport, they're paying higher prices in diesel. I mean, it's $2.41 a litre here up here in North Queensland. And everything for everyone is getting more expensive and they have to react to that. And it comes down to, again, your decision on do you need to fly and how much are you prepared to pay? And there will be a price that some people are just not prepared to pay. And it's a personal decision. But a lot of people that have been locked down for a while have got savings. And the interest rate rises that we've had over the last 3 months, they won't really filter through to the pricing of the goods and services that we purchase for another month or two. So what the airlines can see coming is the forward bookings and the forward costings and the forward pricing of fuel on the futures market. We know that there is a wall of more price rises coming. So if you think things haven't are expensive now, you've not seen anything.
And I may not be flying for a while, by the sound of it. this is it's not looking good. Now, do you see any big casualties? Will several major airline companies go under, or will they be propped up by government?
Well, we know really with the big carriers. Certainly, again, you know, Qantas, they will not let Qantas go by the wayside. They would certainly sacrifice Virgin Australia. I mean, that wouldn't be a problem for the government. They'll look after their favourites and they'll let the others go. So for the smaller airlines, that they're really going to be suffering. And they're also suffering from a lack of crew, because we're just not getting the young people coming through the training environment to choose airlines as a career, because the regulations and the training costs and everything associated with getting your license to start with has gone up. So those people that may want to be a pilot in the future could be holding off and waiting for a different environment, which is then going to cause problems, you know, 2 or 3 years from now. So what's going to happen is that the demand for skilled, experienced pilots is going to go up, and it has. And recently in Australia, we've had 3 major airlines do roadshows, employment roadshows here in Australia, to headhunt pilots from Australia. And over 350 pilots have been poached by foreign carriers and they've gone abroad to get their jobs. And a lot of these are the unvaccinated. I've got one of the guys who's actually involved in our court case. He's now in the United States flying for an American company, earning US dollars. So he's actually making out like a bandit. And he's mm-hmm. completely unvaccinated, because they had came up with a special visa called the E3 for Australian citizens to work for US carriers unvaccinated. So we're losing experienced people. In the UK, they used to call it a brain drain. And that's what's happening. And this is the problems, again, caused by the government here and our management of the airlines, causing a situation that has caused that problem. And it's going Absolutely. To get worse.
Absolutely. Self-inflicted. It's just crazy. I used to work in an industry that no longer exists for all effective purposes. That was a photographic industry, because that got overtaken by digital technology, digital cameras. I used to work in the Royal Film Department of Kodak and managing the quality area back in the 1990s. And back then you could see an industry as time as days were numbered. Here we're seeing an industry destroying itself, not because of some new technology, but just because of just stupidity, bad policy, and bad government as well. But largely you'd have to put it down to the airline company management decisions too. Is there pressure from elsewhere on these high-level CEOs and the airline companies to go along with a policy which is destroying their own industry?
Well, that could be, you could come to that conclusion, but it is not happening with other airlines. It only seems to be happening here in Australia. Around the world, the other carriers are basically back to normal. You know, the short European flights from the UK and around Europe, they're flat out. The transatlantic travel for people that are allowed to go into the United States is back, not quite back where it was before, but it's only seems to be really bad here in Australia with the way that the airlines are operating. So just don't know. It's they're not don't seem to be doing any steps to make things better. And it's very easy to make things worse, but it takes a skilled person to be able to make things better. And we see that with politicians all the time. they seem to excel in low standards, which they consistently fail to achieve.
And you mentioned that it seems to be more of a problem in Australia with respect to the airline industry. What about the United States? What's the situation there in terms of requiring passengers to be vaccinated or staff of airlines? Or is that just all passed?
Well, if you're a foreigner going into the United States, you still have to be vaccinated, double shot. But if you're a US citizen, you can go in. But again, as I said about my colleague, he's unvaccinated, gone in on an E3 visa. So they make these rules up as they go along. If you're in the United States, domestic travel, you can travel unvaccinated. And it's in Canada, I think they were on the verge of getting rid of the vaccine requirement for traveling on trains and airlines. I'm not sure what the latest on that is. But it is crazy. They seem to be making these rules up as they go along. There's no consistency. And allegedly, the infection rate is sky high. Well, that, again, comes down to the effectiveness of the vaccines. It's just like, what's the reality? Do they do what they said it's going to do? Interestingly enough, I saw one of your questions earlier on. We were watching what was going on in Europe with the European Parliament. They were questioning the head of Pfizer, and they basically admitted that the vaccines didn't stop the transmissibility of COVID-19. Now, in our particular case, Qantas have actually admitted to us in court filed documents. I'll read it out to you. Qantas have admitted a person who is fully vaccinated with a COVID-19 vaccine and who subsequently becomes infected with the Omicron variant has a similar risk of transmitting SARS-CoV-2 to another person as an unvaccinated infected person has of transmitting SARS. So what they've basically said to us in official documentation is that the vaccine doesn't stop transmission. Now, that was their justification for telling us that we needed to get the vaccine to stay employed. And now in these court documents, they've said, oh, it's the same profile if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. And Pfizer have actually confirmed that to the European Parliament. So this then removes their whole justification for what they did, Qantas, what they did to their staff and every other business, with the justification that you need to have this vaccine because it stops transmission. Now, that's clearly a falsehood, and they've admitted it. And our legal team were flabbergasted when we got these documents from Qantas because, that's their defense. So what have they got left? So we just can't understand what they've done.
It's wild, isn't it? Now, that's official court documents that you just read out a quote to me.
That's correct.
Now, what I was going to ask you about the latest on your case, the magnificent 24 federal court case, is there anything new there?
Well, we've completed all of our affidavits for everyone in the magnificent 24. That's all submitted with our evidence. We have some fantastic expert witnesses. I should probably keep that quiet and let Qantas digest what we send through. But we've got some very, very high-profile international experts who have provided evidence affidavits for us, which is phenomenal. Very excited about that. So that's all in. And now Qantas have the next 6 weeks from yesterday to digest all of our affidavits from the staff and all of the affidavits from our expert witnesses and evidence. And then they have to submit their defense against our accusations in those affidavits. So it's going to be quite quiet for the next 6 weeks. It's going to be very interesting to see what they come back with, because when we get those documents back from Qantas, we will then have to decide whether we start lobbying the court for discovery and getting documents that we know they have, because we now know that they are aware of many staff members who are out of work due to vaccine injuries. And the company are aware of them. Some of them have received work cover payments. And this was, again, the whole point of the staff that refused the vaccines. We didn't know if we would be one of the people that may have an adverse reaction. And the company now have staff who are vaccine injured, who are now out of the workforce. So this is where some of their problems have come. Some of the people are getting sick regularly. Some of them are vaccine injured. And that is a fact. And Qantas know that. And we know that is a fact as well. So they're really getting into a bad position. I would be very reluctant to go into court if I was Qantas, because their position is getting weaker by the day with the evidence that's coming out. So after they submit their documents in 6 weeks, our next scheduled date is December the 7th, where we have a directions hearing. And we're expecting from that the court to appoint a day for the arguments to go to court, where we'll get down to the nitty-gritty of the argument. So there's still a long timetable, which is good for us because it gives us time and gives us time to do the fundraising that we're trying to do. In actual fact, I'll just let you know that in the Varsity Lakes down in the Gold Coast, the Aussie Freedom Flyers are down at the Aardvark and Arrow, which is a new little brewery, microbrewery, on the 22nd of October. And they've got some great deals going on down there for barbecue and beer. And if anybody wants to come down and meet some...
On that note, in terms of helping you fundraise, we'll let listeners find out more about that after the break. Get your pens and papers handy, and you can find out how you can help Ellen Dana. This is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The more I study the situation with underwater volcanic activity and its huge increase since the 1980s, the more I am wondering why this has not come front and center in the climate debate. I want you to think about this. Where is all that energy going from all these underwater volcanoes that are releasing untold amounts of heat into the ocean? Of course the oceans are going to warm up, and the way they're warming up is indicative that the underwater volcanoes are having something to do with this. Now, how is that not in the middle of the climate debate? The increase has occurred since the 1980s. In fact, a paper labels the increase as exponential since the 1980s. When has all this warming occurred? If the oceans warm, the air above it warms. And guess what? It releases more CO2 into the air. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Great water infrastructure can transform vast areas of land from a dust bowl to an oasis. The Snowy Mountains scheme in Australia was a fine example. It paid for itself many times over in billions of dollars worth of agricultural production in the Murray-Darling Basin. In 1984, at the direction of the Queensland State Government, four of Australia's leading hydraulic engineering firms investigated a revised Bradfield scheme. Based on this study, the government's Office of Northern Development estimated the scheme would have a net capital cost of $2.49 billion and would produce an annual gross revenue, value of production, of $2.02 billion. Therefore, the scheme would pay for itself in less than 2 years. In recent years, Sir Leo Hailsher and Sir Frank Moore have championed a revised Bradfield scheme to divert floodwaters from northern Queensland into the Murray-Darling Basin.
We don't rock. We talk. Today's news talk. TNT Radio.
Jeremy back again, and my guest Ellen Dana as part of the Magnificent 24, which is about Magnificent 53 now. How can listeners help your fight?
Oh, look, it'd be brilliant. They can go to our website, which is aussiefreedomflyers.com. We, as I said before, we do have a page which is dedicated to information for passengers who are heading to an airport with the intention of going flying, so that we can give them an update of what's going on. We have another page that's also dedicated for staff that are still at the airlines. And we know that we get a lot of support from the staff that are there who are giving us information about the chaos that's going on from the inside. So that's how come we know And we've also got the page that basically explains about the court case with those of us that are taking this airline to task over what they've done. And obviously, it's hugely expensive. We've been out of work for a couple of years ourselves, and it's getting quite steep. And the community, if you can just afford the price of a coffee, we gratefully receive that, and we're going to use it very wisely in taking Qantas on. So, just at the website, you can donate directly there. And as I say, what we're doing also is Graham Hood's actually going on tour. He's the captain from Qantas that so famously resigned, and he's been a speaker at many of the freedom rallies around the country over the last 2 years. And he's doing a Queensland community tour. So if you go to his Facebook page, Graham Hood, you can find the dates all the way through this month now and next month. And he's going through basically up the coast all the way through to Cairns, which he'll be in Cairns on the 6th, Atherton on the 7th. And then there's a few other dates where he goes to Mount Isa and all the way around, just basically doing a community tour. So that's good to go. And then the guys down at, as I say, in Varsity Lakes down the coast, they're always doing stuff to help raise awareness of, taking on this monster at the Aardvark and Arrow Brewery. So that's the best way you can get hold of us.
Yeah, and that's the Aussie Freedom Flyers website. Can you just say that again?
Yeah, so just AussieFreedomFlyers.com.
Okay, that's certainly worth looking at. I've had a good view of the website. It's an excellent website. Now, in the time that we have left, about 10 minutes or so, do you see that this admission from Pfizer, that they knew all along that the vaccine would not reduce transmission? There was no evidence. This was at the time we were told, take it for your grandmother and all the rest. You're going to stop the spread. And of course, it was absolute nonsense. And they knew it all along. And now we've got a Pfizer executive coming out and essentially saying that. Do you think that that's going to help your court case?
Well, I do think it's factual. And this is the thing, when you start down the road of getting into court cases and you start having to read these documents from the TGA and from Pfizer, try and piece together what on earth was going through these people's minds when they approved this stuff. There's little Easter, it's like an Easter egg hunt. Occasionally you find this gem. And I was going through the Pfizer public submission to the TGA, and it basically said right at the end of the document that these vaccines were not assessed for the effect on pregnant women, breastfeeding women, and transmissibility and a few other things. So it's right there. But the TGA used the Pfizer's document to give it a provisional approval. Now then you ask, what does a provisional approval mean? Well, you look at the definition of provisional approval, and it's a pathway to gain data for a view to giving the medicine a full approval at some point in the future. So that indicates, in not explicit terms, that indicates that it's experimental. So nobody is required to take anything that's experimental or under evaluation, is what they call it. So it's right there in the documentation that the TGA have got available, and you just have to look it up. And these medications, the COVID-19, the Pfizer, the Moderna, the Johnson & Johnson, they're all listed as a black triangle medications. And they're also prescription medications. Now, the black triangle is a monitoring program that TGA have for new medications that requires anybody giving them to supply adverse reaction information that comes to light. So the thing is, it comes to the question, well, why would you need adverse reaction information if you already know how safe these things are? Well, the answer to that is they don't already know. And requiring medics, doctors, and hospitals to give information about adverse reactions is data gathering, indicating again that it's experimental. So they can't walk away from the fact that what they said in public, these things will stop transmission, and what's filed in the documentation to the TGA are completely at odds. Pfizer and Moderna never said in any of their submitted documents that these things would stop transmissibility. Period. Fact. End of story. The fact that the government said it on TV and that politicians and superstars from the movies and all that was here nor there. They weren't saying something that was the truth. They knew what was in the documentation, and it never said anything about stopping transmission. And Qantas have admitted that in their court documents with us. So it's going to blow their case wide open. Someone has done something wrong, and I'm not going to stop until some of these people are in jail.
Yeah, that's where they belong. It's absolutely disgusting what has gone on. And finally, some more people are coming out, saying the obvious, but there's still a lot of people half asleep. I know that many people took the jabs because they thought that there was a good thing and they're going to help their family and they thought it was right for the community. Others took it because they were forced to, because they wanted to keep their job. Correct. Did you get much of a sense in the airline industry, were most people who took the jabs, were most people happy to take them at the time, or were most very reluctant but did it just to keep their jobs?
I think 25% would have been absolutely gung-ho for it, you know, couldn't wait to get back in the air. Then another 25% kind of, yeah, okay, I'll take it. Then another 25% maybe, you know, were indifferent. I don't really care either way. And then the last 25% were, I really don't want this, but they took it anyway because, as you say, to keep their jobs. And then the last few belligerent staff members, of which I am one, decided, no, get stuffed. I'm not taking it under any circumstances. And I can tell you now, and you probably agree with me and your listeners would agree, there's probably not many unvaccinated people out there that regret not having the vaccine at this point in time.
I'm certainly glad I made the decision I made to not go anywhere near those jabs. And I think you got to feel sorry for those who took it to keep their job. We've got to treat everyone with compassion. Even the people who willingly took it and thought it was going to be a great thing, we have to have compassion for everyone, because at the end of the day, they were fooled by a lie that it was safe and effective. They just fell for the advertising campaign. Advertising is very powerful, isn't it, Alan?
No, it is, and they've used it. They know what they've done. And as I've said on previous interviews, in the UK, they have a government department called the Nudge Unit. And the Nudge Unit is to basically get the messaging on TV and the radio and posters in the street and billboards and the sides of buses to push a particular what to think today message. And it's a psychological warfare operation. It's they don't say that this doesn't exist. It has been done. It's a classic military tactic of priming the population. And most people are so busy with their lives day to day, they just don't have the time to think critically about what they're being fed from the government. But this whole exercise in the last 2 years is really going to trained a lot of people to never believing the words out of a politician's mouth ever again. And it's a sad state of affairs. We should be able to trust people that we pay large salaries to do the administration of the country, and they've let everybody down, you know, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. There have been crimes, and I really do look forward to the day that these people end up in court, in the dock, facing criminal charges.
I certainly hope so too. Now, do you see that these executives who are hell-bent on keeping this mandate policy, do you see part of that as just part of human nature, just the stubbornness that people don't want to admit they're wrong, pride, all of those things? Do you think that's a part of it?
100%. I mean, the politicians aren't really the brightest, you know, cookies in the box, are they? They're not that smart. They're usually people that love having power, unearned power over other people. You know, what is it they say? That politics is like Hollywood for ugly people. You know, they really enjoy the power trip, because, you know, a CEO from a business who's built a business up, you know, they have shown their skill in running a business and building it up to a multi-million-dollar business that employs lots of people. That's noteworthy. You know, like the Clive Palmers of this world, You know, you might not like him, but you have to admire what he's done. Politicians are airdropped into these positions of ungodly power over lots of people. They're there for a short time, and boy, are they going to make the most of it. And they do. And they have a lot to lose now, because especially if there's been lies and mistruths or fraud, for example, in relation to the contracts with the manufacturers of the vaccines, they've got a lot to lose. And they're not going to go without a fight, because now they're like a cornered animal. The landscape and the narrative is changing around them, and they don't have control over that.
Exactly right. Now, we've got about just a few seconds left. How can people find out more about you and help Aussie Freedom Flyers?
Just get onto the website, aussiefreedomflyers.com, and also join our social medias. You'll see the logos in the top right corner of the website.
Okay, thanks very much, Alan Dana. Great to have you on TNT Radio. We must do this again and get an update when the results come through with your court hearing in December. That will be great to hear you then, or certainly before then too. I'm sure there'll be updates coming up to the news now. I'm signing off.